ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम भद्रं कन्ने भश्रणयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्यो ओम शांते शांते शांति एनी एक्शन performed is inert, jadam in its nature. It can never produce a result by itself. Any result of any karma is ordained by the Lord in the form of natural laws. Karma itself does not produce the phalam. The phalam is always determined by the natural laws. And even if the karma, following the karma, whatever phalam is determined by the natural laws, that karma phalam will be time bound. It cannot be moksha, because moksha is something to be understood, something to be discovered, something to be known. Therefore, knowledge alone will help us discover moksha. Knowledge of the truth is, in fact, knowledge of what fullness is. Therefore, knowledge and moksha being identical, knowledge alone will result in moksha, never will karma result in moksha. Having said this, Ramana Maharishi proceeded to say the importance of living a life of karma yoga. Because being materialistic and being spiritual, what is being spiritual and what do we mean by being materialistic? Any spiritual person has to be materialistic also. One who pursues artha and kama is materialistic. Understand? And one who lives a life of dharma and one who pursues the knowledge is spiritual. It does not mean the people who are materialistic need not be spiritual. But the spiritual person is definitely materialistic also. But what is the difference between the materialistic and the spiritual person? What is the difference? The spiritual person has purushartha nischayaha. I am repeating the same thing. I am not telling anything you know. The spiritual person is the one who has purushartha nischayaha, who is 100% definite about his end being moksha, and moksha being a choiceless end. And he knows that moksha is only in knowing the truth of the universe as the self, as the which is available for recognition, as the meaning of the word I, as the knower, as the subject of knowledge. And thereby one who knows the value of knowledge of the truth. See, one who is a mumukshu, it is very important to know what do we mean by the word being a mumukshu, okay? One who is desirous of moksha, one who is committed to the pursuit of moksha is a mukshuhu. Thereby one who knows the value of knowledge, thereby one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge is a spiritual person. See, without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, without knowing the value of knowledge, without knowing the moksha being the ultimate choiceless end, there's no way of being spiritual. For who is a spiritual person? We know very well now. And this spiritual person who knows the end being moksha, he who knows the end moksha being the choiceless end, the one who knows the value of knowledge of the truth, thereby one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and such a spiritual person is definitely worshipful and prayerful, he is religious, and he is definitely he is ethical, because without living a life of values, it is impossible for one to become ready for this knowledge. Therefore, one who knows the value of knowledge, the spiritual person alone who knows the value of knowledge, thereby who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, also knows the value of values, thereby who is committed to live a life of values also, he is also ethical person, righteous person. So who is righteous now? Dharmi, dharmavan, isn't it? Neetiman, we talk about neetiman, dharmavan, no, we heard about these words. But so he is ethical and he is religious and he is spiritual. At the same time, who knows, no, who also is a great contributor, not merely a consumer. Therefore, he knows very clearly, he is living this life as a genuine devotee, no, as an ethical person. He is living this life ultimately to discover the truth. Therefore, he knows to live this life, he needs to have some basic infrastructure, for which he knows the importance of, you know, pursuing artha and kama. No, thereby he knows, because to live this life, one has to pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma. There's only way one can live this life, thereby one can discover ultimately what he needs to discover. Therefore, this person who is given to the pursuit of artha and kama also. Artha kamas for the spiritual person, moksha is the ultimate, jnanam is the ultimate, no, dharma is very important, he knows the value of values, he has surrendered his will to dharma, Bhagavanam of dharma, thereby for whom artha kamas become the means to accomplish, the end is one for him. For a spiritual person, end is one, not too many ends. How many ends are there? All the three have to be reduced to what? One end. Moksha is the only absolute ultimate end. What artha kamas then? Artha kamas are means, okay, to live this life. And then those artha kamas also, to live this life also must be definitely in conformity with dharma. Therefore, for him, artha, kama, dharma, these time-bound ends serve as means to accomplish the ultimate end, moksha, in the form of knowledge. Understand? He is a karma yogi. Therefore, the karma yogi, because he knows the value of dharma, and he has an attitude of offering, because of this clarity about the end being mokshaha, all that he does becomes offered to Bhagavan all the time. And he also enters attitude of looking at everything as prasada, and he can accept everything with sameness of mind also, because in his understanding, oh, anything that happens in life is ordained by the natural law, so everything is natural law being Bhagavan, everything is prasadaha. This is a karma yogi. We are going to see in Gita class also the same thing. Later on, not immediately, later on. So this is the karma yogi. And this karma yogi, because his commitment to dharma being, you know, his the whole life being a dharma-gound life, his will happens to have been surrendered to dharma, Bhagavanam of dharma, you know, Ishvara, then he has surrendered himself to Bhagavan. Thereby, there is no fraction of second, he is away from Bhagavan. Understand? Therefore, he is always a devotee. Okay? So, karma yogi is a nitya bhaktaha. Okay? Nitya bhaktaha. Ever a devotee. There is no fraction of second when he is not a devotee. In all his actions he does, In all his role plays, you know, he play in all his roles he plays, he is always a devotee. For him, work is worship. This is a karma yogi. And such a karma yogi's life definitely paves way for his antahkarna shuddhi, and such a person becomes free from the conflict free minded, the prick free minded. He is not a split personality because his thought, word and deed are always in alignment. He is called yuktaha. No? Yuktaha means integrated minded, means what? A highly noble person, an Arya, even who had seen Bhagavad Gita. Who is integrated minded? One who what he thinks, what he knows, his knowledge of right and wrong, and what he speaks and what he does, they're all in alignment. And he is yuktaha, he is now integrated minded, and he acha karma yogi is always abhaktaha. He does everything. Understand, he doesn't do anything specially for that. Just living a life of karma yoga with purushartha nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, with the commitment to live a life of values, just pursuing artha kama in his life, doing whatever he has to be, whatever he has to, doing his own duties, no, doing all his, fulfilling all his responsibilities, whatever he does, still he is a nityaha bhaktaha. Okay, he is ever devotee. And so that is a karma yogi, and this is very important for any purusha, anyone to become a karma yogi. In order, it's only way, this only living a life of karma yoga is the only way one can uplift oneself, one can evolve oneself, one can elevate oneself, no, one can prepare oneself for jnanam. Otherwise, there's no way of having chitta shuddhi, antahkarna shuddhi, a mental purity. There's no way, isn't it? So this is, we saw chitta shodakam mukti sadhakam. So karma yoga serves as an indirect means of moksha. And then Ramana very beautifully takes us to the next step. A karma yogi is a nitya bhaktaha, because all his actions become offered to Bhagavan because of his clarity of, you know, the purpose of living this life. It is also important for a karma yogi at times to be a mere devotee. It's very important. A karma yogi is always a devotee. There's no time karma yogi is not a devotee. But a karma devotee, in all that actions he does also, what? He is a karma devotee. But suppose if he does not do anything else, any other action, he does not involve himself in, without involving himself in any other actions or activities, in order to do his duties or to, you know, do his, do fulfill his responsibilities, you know, as a one, as the one who plays his different roles, just he sits and invokes the grace of Bhagavan. He prays and worships. Then also, what, worship also is an action. Prayer also is an action. In pray, when a karma yogi, he worships and prays as a spiritual, when a spiritual person worships and prays to the Lord. No, I told you, a spiritual person is definitely a religious person, and then he is a mere devotee. Understand? With the, my, so, karma yogi is a devotee in all his role plays. But the devotee is what? Without any role play, just as he worships and prays to the Lord, he is just the devotee. Then he is known as upasakaha. A karma yogi is definitely an upasakaha. If he sits and prays separately, you know. So every upasaka, all the upasakas need not be karma yogis. Understand? But the karma yogi is definitely a upasaka. Understand now? Upasakaha. Upasaka is a religious person, one who worships, one who is praying to the Lord. Wherein one invokes the devotee in oneself. Just the devotee. When he sits, so that sort of worship involves, I told you, three types of karma. He involves oneself in threefold karma, physical, oral and mental activities which constitute his upasanam, the worship. Isn't it? Worship. And which again, it is a pre-preparation for meditation. In fact, worship itself can become meditation. Why? Because even though it's a physical activity is involved, oral activity is involved in worship, still any worship with proper understanding, with the understanding of significance of worship, with the understanding of efficacy of worship, and with the Purushartha Nischaya, as a karma yogi, if one sits as a Nitya Bhaktaha, one sits as an Upasaka, as a worshipper, definitely then that becomes meditation also. Worship itself becomes meditation. Why? Because his mind is only in that given karma. And the whole karma, which is an action, which is consisting of many units of actions, which form the worship, it is what? Only Bhagavan is the object of thought. That is why kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma. I am just repeating, summing up the whole thing. And all three, four types of karma are involved there. And as a kayakam karma, even though physically one does something, offering flowers, etc., whatever physical activity he does, physically whatever he does, in order to worship Bhagavan, to invoke the grace of Bhagavan, and still physically he is doing, worldly he is chanting, and his mind also is totally involved, what? His mind is not elsewhere in any other karma. Mind is not thinking of anything else. The mind is totally in what he is doing. Therefore, this upasanam, this puja, becomes what? Sort of meditation. You can say meditation or pre-preparation for meditation. If your meditator is different from the meditated, the object of meditation, but still the mind is of the what the mind the attention of the mind is only in the karma wherein Bhagavan is everything. The karma, the main object of thinking is what? Bhagavan. In worship, even though it involves physical activity, but object of thinking is Bhagavan. Therefore, it's a meditation. It's a pre-preparation for meditation. Kayikam karma and vachikam karma, whatever he chants also, the karma yogi, even if he does not understand the meaning, he is very focused. At least mind is at least in the words. Okay? Definitely, even then, it's not a mechanical chanting because his mind is there in oral activity. Mind is there in physical activity. Therefore, that kayikam karma is effective. It prepares sort of the pre-preparation for meditation. And similarly, vachikam karma also is a pre-preparation for meditation. This upasanam is very, very important. At times, always, a nitya bhaktaha, okay, who is a bhakta in all his actions, without any actions, he is just the bhaktaha. Not a nitya bhaktaha, just the bhaktaha, then he is upasakaha. That sort of upasanam is always to, neutralize one's punya papas and also to manage one's emotions and also actually to draw strength to be able to live a life of dharma. And second thing, it steadies the mind. Understand? So karma yoga is for antakarna shuddhihi. Upasanam is for antahkarana naischalyam. Because mind will be still distracted. Pure may be. Commitment to dharma is there. Very, very highly ethical. Therefore, purity will be there. But still, because karma involves always distraction. isn't it? You can't be just do visit in one place. Still it is that the mind may not be steady enough. So upasanam is always for mental steadiness. Is it clear now? Then, here again, Ramana says, and he very beautifully says, E kaya vangmana karya muttamam. That is why it is very, now you see the beauty, how important it is. The whole Hindu way of life, he presents in such a small verses, the systematically presents. Have you noticed that? Systematically he presents. It is very important for how important it is to involve oneself in worship and prayer. So, kaya vangmana karya muttamam. Then we say, then it's all very good, but also he says, next is, more than this, now what is better than this is, in fact, this than kayikam karma, vachikam karma is better, is more effective. And vachikam karma also involves your mind. And even in vachikam karma also, you vachikam karma means you have stavaha and japaha. You may involve yourself in singing in praise of the Lord. And then so using so many words, it becomes a stavaha. Now singing, kritis, or lyrics, and different names of the Lord, anything you sing, whether you bhajan, everything comes under the category of stavaha. Stavaha is also good. That you sing loudly, you can't sing Hare Rama. When you sing bhajans, you can't sing Pannagabhushana Paramashiva. No, singing means you meant for everybody to listen. No? You sing loudly now that. Therefore, so loud, you just also stavaha. You have to sing aloud. Others also listen, benefit, enjoy it. But even better than that is, he says japaha. Japaha is what now? Then there again, you repeat one nama or one mantra. You repeat only one nama, one mantra. And that japaha again is what? You can do it uchaihi or you can do it nichaihi. You can do it aloud or you can do it softly. And even, so it's better to do the japam softly than doing it, understand now, aloud. Then again he says, even better than that japam, even doing the japam softly, what is it? Is doing the japam mentally. Manasam japaha. So, uchaihi kritaha japaha, nichaihi kriyamanaha japaha. No, japaha is better than stavaha. So don't think, Kamala says, tells us not to sing bhajans. Please do sing bhajans. I don't say no. I only want to understand. It is, please sing lyrics and please sing all kritis, because all Mahatmas and Tyagaraja and then Swati Tirunal, all Mahatmas, have given lots and lots. Purudadasa, so we have to sing. They're all meant for. That is different, isn't it? Because don't mistake it to understand the context. Some people, always they have some misunderstanding. What is being said in the class. And then we'll be contradicting with Tyagaraja Swami, And he says, Advaita Siddhi ki Amaratva Labdhi ki Sangeeta me Pranamo. Then we had to contradict what he says. no, we can't do that. Therefore, so that's a different thing. But here, that's all part of our physical, kayakam karma, vachikam karma comes us. That's very good. We have to do that. But here, to steady the mind, to steady the unsteady mind, to discipline the indisciplined mind, what you should do? So, stavaha, we have japaha. Of this japaha also, in this japaha also, uchaihi kriyamanaha japaha, nechaihi kriyamanaha japaha, manasa kriyamanaha japaha. Okay? The japa which is just mentally done, manasaha japaha. The manasa japaha is the best of all forms of japam. Why? Because manasa japaha just can be, in fact, what? Can place meditation, replace meditation. Manasa japaha is as good as meditation, but manasa japaha becomes meditation itself. Manas Japaha, initially it becomes a pre-preparation for meditation. Later on becomes what? Meditation itself. How do you say that? No, before we go to meditation, how do we say Manasaha Japaha becomes, serves as meditation? Because in Manasaha Japaha, physical body is not involved, speech is not involved, my attention of the mind alone is involved, and there in Japaha, what is recited mentally happens to be one name of the Lord or one given mantra of the Lord, mantra praising wherein Bhagavan's glory is praised, then that being repeatedly uttered, the object of every thought is only one mantra. Objects of thoughts are not too many, only one, isn't it? Suppose we say, Om Krishnaya Namaha, Om Krishnaya Namaha. If you say it mentally, Om Krishnaya Namaha, Om Krishnaya Namaha, Om Krishnaya Namaha, without even having any lip movement or any in tongue movement, mentally you are chanting, the mind is with that, attention of the mind is with that Nama, Krishnaya Namaha. And the continuously, thought after thought, in every thought, the object of thought, vritti vishayaha is that one name, Krishnaha. Krishnaya Namaha, Krishnaya Namaha. We don't need to think of any other anything else, just Krishnaya Namaha. When it goes, it's called Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. Say that? Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. See, Pravahaha means flow. Flow. Vrittihi means thought. So, flow of thoughts. You understand meditation very beautifully in this context actually. I'm just first introducing this Manasa Japaha. Doesn't matter. It's very important. Vrittihi means a thought, modification. Pravahaha, flow. So, ennangalde votam. Okay? Flow of thoughts. And how thought? Constant flow of thoughts. And consistent flow of thoughts. Continuous flow of thoughts. Unbroken, uninterrupted flow of thoughts. And here, only was object of thought is what? Only one. So not different objects are there. It's a vijatiya vritti pravaha. But only one thing is there. Every thought for a given length of time, for a short while, you are sitting there meditation, at least for 5 minutes, all the thoughts of it is only one. Om Krishna. And you can say, Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. You see, thought is what? Sajatiya Vrittayaha. So, Sajatiyanam Vrittinam Pravahaha is a constant, continuous, unbroken flow of thoughts for all of them. Object of thoughts is one and the same. Isn't it? Therefore, what happens when you do that Manasa Japaha and you are also conscious? You are not mechanically doing. Okay? Suppose if this japaha can never be mechanical. And if suppose it goes, then you can bring it back also. Even japa when mind will go, then you can always bring it back. No, if first you start doing for 2 minutes, then people come and tell me, every day I meditate for half an hour, 40 minutes, then come and tell me, oh, I used to say that. People come and they really don't understand what they mean by meditation. They come and tell, oh, we sit for half an hour, 40 minutes meditation. People really don't understand. Here, in this, what happens? In between thoughts, okay? Because Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. The consequent, no? We see thought after thought comes in between two nama, in between two chants, in between two chants. No? Definitely there must be some silence. Because no other object is held. No other object is held. One object held is what? Namah Shivaya mantra. And before you start the other Namah Shivaya mantra, in between is what? It's a gap. In that gap, there is only silence. Understand? And you'll be conscious of that. As you do more and more and more you do japam, then you will see that. You'll be conscious of that silence. When the thought is there, mantra is there, okay, still you are there. When the mantra is not there, you alone are there. That's the beauty. Look at the secret. When the mantra is there, you are there. Om Namah Shivaya. You are there. Om Namah Shivaya. Between these two mantras is what? Silence. What is silence? Oh, before once mantra begins, after the mantra ended, not very long, okay? Because a country, isn't it? That is why we don't say, Unashaya, Unashaya, Unashaya. No, that's why japam also should be done properly. Now, not simply mechanically, fast, 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 I have to finish the 1 lakh, okay? Unashaya, 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 Unashaya. That's why any japam also should be, it should be done, the time should be taken according to the, you know, how many rounds are there, accordingly, that many matra kalaha. Understand? You should take to utter mantra. That's the correct way of chanting. Only in classical music, you only nasals and vowels, you can have alapanam. No, in no consonant can you cannot do any alapanam in music with the consonant, isn't it? You can't say nasal. Again, only vowel. Anything vowel you can say, but you can't say. You can't say, isn't it? No consonant can be used for alapanam. This even there you can't break. We'll be very careful. So what I'm saying here, what I want to convey here is, in between there is silence. Between two chants there is silence. Now you are there, nama is there. You alone are there, then again nama comes. You are there, you are constantly there as awareness. You means, I mean real, the truth is there. Just the truth is there as awareness and nama is there. Nama is not there, truth alone is there. That silence is what? Understand? As in japam, you observe that silence slowly, not initially. Initially you won't know, you do japam, mechanically start your japam. Not mechanically, you do japam, initially don't. As you do the japam in due course of time, you will slowly start discovering that silence. That silence, in fact, you observe that silence because you are mechanically doing, you are consciously doing the japam. You are conscious of, you are aware of the mantra being there. You are aware of the next mantra being there. In between, you also are aware of the gap wherein there is silence. The observer of the silence is none other than the silence. You know that? That is why silence is what? Again, swarupam of the reality. What noise does consciousness make? Tell me. Consciousness, what noise does it make? Pesame, summa iruttal. Okay, summa iru sollara. Okay, summa iruttal. Just remaining quiet. Not, see, actionlessness is the nature of the reality. Okay? Now understand, that's why you can never become silent. Understand? You have to discover that you are already silence. If you know the truth, you know what silence is. If you know the truth, you know what pure knowledge is. So pure knowledge, the pure consciousness is what? Silence. This way, okay, silence is equal to reality. In silence, all the noises happen. Understand? And then suppose if this japaha is, therefore japaha is never mechanical. Is there never mechanical? It's always done consciously. And initially it may be like mechanical. You do something, suddenly you forget. Mechanically, that's why in oral japa is possible. Japam can become mechanical, but in manasa japaha, either you are doing japam or you are not doing japam. Understand? You think over for a second, you think and see. This way, the japaha, not immediately, when you start manasaha japaha, in due course of time, it will help you discover silence between the consequent, okay, the two chants, two thoughts, and wherein the pravahaha, the flow of thoughts, sajatiya vritti pravahaha, when objects of thoughts are many, they come and go, but every object of thought is only one nama. Where is attention? Attention is in nama. Attention mind is in nama. What is the nama? Therefore, thought, object of thought? Nama. You do that for a second now. Mentally do that. I'll say softly, you all try mentally, just 1 minute. Om Shri Durga Ye Namaha. 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 You can't do it for a long, I mean, I just wanted to tell you, this is very, that is, this is how, which is just make you think, that's all, nothing, you can't understand everything here now. This is how the manasa japaha will turn to be a pre-preparation for meditation, and meditation itself, it serves as meditation. So manasa japaha is better than, even Nicha japaha or Uccha japaha. In oral japa. He said that. Now he is going to actual meditation. In not even manasa japaha. So in manasa japaha what happens? It's called a virala chintanam. Manasa japaha is what? Virala chintanam. Virala chintana, manasa japaha, which serves as meditation, becomes what? Virala chintanam. Virala chintanam means what? Interrupted meditation. Broken thinking. Broken meditation. Interrupted thinking. It's called a virala chintanam. So, manasa japaha, which is much better than the softly done oral japa, is what? Is which serves as a meditation, is what? Broken or interrupted meditation. Interrupted thinking. And he says, even what is better than this is actual meditation. What is meditation? Meditation is sarala chintanam. He says sarala chintanam. Let me explain, then we'll go to the text. Okay? If it takes textually, all the words are very Ramana uses very different words. That's why I wanted to tell you all the technical terms, then we can go. Sarala chintanam. So virala, in fact, viralaha literally means rare, rare usage. Okay, do you use this every day? Apna viralam solo. Na whether you use Tamil in Sri Lankan Tamil, viralama pain badtram sanna we use once in a while. Yani viralam solo, virala prayoga, viralam we use that. And the saralam na regulara, no effortless. Saralam gravarte is very very no saralama varde. Saralam na effortless. No, very very effortless. But here he uses sarala chintanam, virala chintanam. What is virala chintanam? Virala chintanam means broken, interrupted thinking, interrupted meditation. What is interrupted meditation here? He says this manasa japaha, which serves as meditation, which is very good, but still is also what? Is a broken meditation. In better than this is sarala chintanam, that is actual meditation, dhyanam. So from upasana, from here what has gone now? Dhyanam. And here we have to learn what is dhyanam. Dhyanam, we know, we say meditation. So in upasanam there is dhyanam. In upasanam, upasanam is dhyanam, because mind is involved, isn't it? In all the any karma, upasanam is said to be dhyanam also. Why? Because attention of mind is placed near Bhagavan. Whether you are physically doing, orally doing, mentally doing, doesn't matter. Mind is, object of thought is Bhagavan. Therefore upasanam, that's why it's called meditation. Even though it involves physical and oral activities. But now we say the dhyanam, especially we are thinking about dhyanam. So that is over now. Since now we are going to manasam karma. What is now? So kayikam karma is over, and vachikam karma also is over. And how the vachikam vachikaha japaha can be converted into manasaha japaha, which serves as dhyanam, we saw. Manasam karma, because mental activity. Now actual proper mental activity. What is dhyanam? A dhyanam is saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. Vyaparaha means not Tamil vyaparam kedaiyadhu. Here activity. In Tamil, always I used to have a problem when I was very young. I used to hear vyaparam, vyaparam. Namak vyaparam na only business than we used to think. But we had to hear, in fact, na vyaparaha actually is good, correct word actually. So activity. So manasa vyaparaha means what? Mental activity. So mental activity, for which the object of mental activity, thinking, is what? Sagunam brahma. Sagunam brahma is equal to Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha is na Bhagavan, the Lord. Okay? If the object of thinking is Ishwaraha, then this is dhyanam. Saguna brahma vishaya, saguna brahmana, the Lord. Vishaya is object. For which manasa vyapara, mental activity. Saguna brahma or saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. The mental activity for which object is the Lord. Ishwaraha. So upasam also, in fact, what? Saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyapara. But still there physical body is involved. But here we say in saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha is a purely mental activity. So sagunam brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha, saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha is purely a mental activity. So dhyanam sanna manasa vyaparaha only. Okay? There's a difference between upasana they want to understand here. So manasa vyaparaha, only mind is involved. But here the thoughts are how, you are attention of the mind. So that's why the attention of the mind being focused on a given object, which stands for Ishwara, is what? Meditation. But otherwise, Suppose we simply focus attention on something which doesn't mean, doesn't stand for Ishvara, then you cannot call it, according to Shastram, it is not meditation, it is just the concentration. As I told you earlier in the class. Isn't it? Concentration. So in meditation there is concentration, but in concentration there is no meditation. Why? Object of thinking, if it is not Bhagavan, there is not Dhyanam. Isn't it? So I told you earlier. And here, Ramana Maharshi, here what he uses the word, Sarala Chintanam. Sarala Chintanam. So in meditation itself, we are going to see later on, contemplation, that will be next class topic, okay? Contemplation we'll see next class, which is Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Nirguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Contemplation, which we'll see next class, okay? And if possible, I may touch today itself. But we say, what is Dhyanam first? How he develops one from one to the other. And here, he says, Sarala Chintanam. Sarala Chintanam means what? Unbroken, uninterrupted, constant, continuous, consistent flow of thoughts. Here also what we have? Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. Here also the same thing. Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. The vritti, you know, there's a constant flow of thoughts. For all of them, object is one, that is Bhagavan. In Manasa Japaha also Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. In Hira Sajatiya Vritti Pravahaha. But the difference here is, no, the continuously there is no gap between two thoughts, because it's a continuous thing. Even we'll understand that later on here. So here Sarala Chintanam. So here there's no effort is involved, effortless. In meditation, effort is not involved, and then it also involves commitment. Commitment must be there to meditate, knowing the value of meditation, and one commits oneself to, the commitment is there. The second thing, and then also effortless meditation. When will meditation become effortless? If you love the object of your thought. Understand? Suppose if you love what is meditated upon, then it will be very natural and effortless. So what you are going to meditate on should be something which is the most desirable and lovable for you. Okay, what you love, then it becomes effortless. And it also what? Consistent. So you should discover love for the object of meditation. For which you should know the value of what you meditate on, what for you are meditating. Must be very clear, then you will discover love for the object of meditation. Then it will be effortless. Okay? Saralam. Then it will also be what? Consistent. How it, no? Consistent. Then it won't be, you know, distraction free. So that he's using two illustrations that we'll see in the mantra, when you see the mantra. Then in meditation, he says, when you focus on something, even if you do manasa puja, the whole puja you can do manasam, mental. In manasa japa, only one nama you repeat. In manasa puja, what you do, all that you do physically, you do mentally. Like one nana built a big temple, you know, whole temple he built in his meditation. And taking brick after brick, how long it will take for one to take the brick and then put it and put the cement and to paste. Same way he was doing it mentally. And it took so many years for him to finish the Manasa Devalaya. Amazing, isn't it? So what I'm saying, there, even though many actions, many things, objects are thought are different, but all of them together, one main object of thinking is what? Bhagavan. isn't it? Therefore, it is a sajatiya sthil, sajatiya vritti pravahaha, and flow of notes consistent. That's very consistent. And he, even here, can be japam, or you suppose you have a given form, or a given mantra, no? You see the meaning of given mantra, etc., whatever you, it is object of meditation, and that stands for Ishwaraha. Then one more thing he says, suppose how to develop love for object of meditation. Object of meditation must be Bhagavan. Then only it's dhyanam. And how is it, is develop liking for that, love for that object of meditation? Always it is said, see, the more you see the virtues, the more you find the glories, the more you find the, you know, desirability of that, and the more you will love it. How do we develop liking for some people? Slowly, slowly, initially as a stranger, you don't know the person, you won't like the person. And you won't like the person. You won't have any intimacy or closeness. You won't feel very free to talk to the person. And lip sympathy. Hi, bye, night. You know, you just laugh and go, because it's very natural for anybody. It's not that easy to get closer to person, people who are very, very new. And however closest also, you cannot be very close. Understand? We always have some distance, something hidden. Between even the closest people also. There's always, however intimate, still there are things which are not shared and all that. Always, some distance is always there. Isn't it? But the more you mix with the person, the more you know the person, the more you know about the good things about the person, and you start appreciating the person, you start liking the person. Similarly, here also, the more you know the Bhagavad Vibhuti. Now, Bhagavad Vibhuti means what? The more you start appreciating the concept of Ishvara. You see, more understand Ishvara as knowledge, Jagat as the manifestation of knowledge, which is the Lord, the truth. Amazing, then how knowledge is manifest in a tree, how knowledge is manifest in a worm, how knowledge is manifest in any insect, how knowledge is manifest in everything. Now, how knowledge is manifest in every, you know, everything, the more you start seeing Ishvara, the more you understand Vibhuti. So, how knowledge is manifest in a prodigy? My God. How knowledge is manifest in any genius? How knowledge is manifest in any, you know, big scientist? How knowledge is manifest in every living being? How knowledge is manifest in anything, anybody who is the best in one's field? Now, anything best is attractive. Now, anything best in a person is the most attractive. Anything attractive is what? Manifestation of knowledge, which is Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Understand now? So whoever is praised for, suppose MS sings so beautifully, that means what? That singing capacity is what? Vibhuti, Bhagavad Vibhuti. That knowledge of ragas, knowledge of alapanam, knowledge of how that, you know, there's like a spring, you know, the throat goes for alapanam. All you see, what's all Bhagavan's Vibhuti. So any skill, any efficiency, anything best, anything just attractive in a given person, in any discipline is what? Bhagavan's Vibhuti. This only way we can neutralize our jealousy. You know that? The more we appreciate Bhagavan's Vibhuti, we can manage our jealousy. I'm not able to sing like her. Oh, what an amazing Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Isn't it? That can be slowly changed. Because natural for us to, perimuch is very natural, okay. So we manage. That's how we become healthy, we become free of mental cancer, and we also won't make ourselves cancerous, okay. So we are free. Now, what's Bhagavad Vibhuti? This is what is appreciating. See, anybody, you see small little skill in any child, Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Any efficiency, any talent, anything Bhagavan's Vibhuti. So gift, no. Bhagavan, we say, oh, gifted child, we say. What is that gifted child? What is that gift? Bhagavan's Vibhuti, isn't it? It's all Bhagavan. There's a way of appreciating, you know, that you have to learn. How to understand what is Bhagavan's Vibhuti, so many people will ask. So the more we understand this Ishvara's concept of Ishvara, okay, Bhagavan's Sarupam, Bhagavan means what? The Swarupam of Bhagavan the Holy is pure knowledge. Like Swarupam of the ocean is H2O. When you say Swarupam of the whole Jagat, Bhagavan is what? Okay, pure knowledge. Jnana Swarupaha, Arive Vadivinan. Okay? And that Swarupam, and that knowledge alone is manifest as the knowledge. Whole Jagat is knowledge manifest, in fact. This sort of appreciation of Bhagavan's vibhutis, glories of Bhagavan, this is what is real glory, in fact. You know, and then how much our appreciation of glories is really not enough, is not possible. For us, it is very difficult for us to appreciate the total glories of Bhagavan. We can understand very, very, very little. And the more we understand also, slowly we will develop love for the object which symbolizes, which stands for that Vibhutimat, Vibhutiman, Bhagavan. Isn't it? One way. And second thing, I tell you, a Bhagavat Swarupam is what? My Swarupam. Understand? Bhagavat Swarupam and my Swarupam are not two different things. And if Shastram tells me that what my choiceless end being fullness, that fullness and the Swarupam, this pure knowledge, Bhagavat Swarupam and fullness are not two different things. Pure knowledge or pure consciousness and pure, this not the fullness, are not two different things. And if I had to, and what I want is fullness, and do I like fullness or what? What choice do I have to like fullness? Understand? Therefore, in that love for oneself. Understand? Love for oneself is in fact love for fullness. Look at this. Love for fullness is equal to love for one's own Swarupam. One's own Swarupam means one's own self. Love for one's own self is equal to love for what? Swarupam of the Lord. Love for Swarupam of the Lord is equal to love for the Lord. In fact, love for the Lord, love for Swarupam of the Lord, love for the Swarupam of one's own self, and love for fullness, all synonyms. Understand? And this liking is very nice. Once you know this, and naturally, it's very easy to develop. Once you know this fact, you don't need to develop anything. You naturally will love that object of meditation. What is Bhagavan is fullness. And Bhagavan Swarupam is what? My Swarupam is Bhagavan, in fact. For this purpose of meditation is very clear for you. And naturally, when you sit slowly, you can avoid these distractions. It is how it becomes effortless. Understand now? Better than Virala Chintanam is Sarala Chintanam. And wherein the object of thinking, whether it's the name of the Lord, or it's some given form of the Lord, or even something, okay, what you're thinking of, if it is object of meditation, if it stands for Ishvara, it is meditation. And in this meditation, still there is difference between the meditator and the meditated. The object of meditation is different from the one who is meditating on. And even that's why it is not moksha. It will not result in moksha. It will result in perfect mental steadiness. And without even meditation, you can directly go for nidhyasanam, which will result in moksha. Understand? That's what we are going to see next class. But with the system, I'm teaching how Ramana Maharishi beautifully takes from one step to the other one. Very, very beautiful, isn't it? That is why, so sarala chintanam. And this is what is meditation. And here, when a thing, even if the mind goes here and there, always attrition of the mind being taken away, getting distracted from that, you will be known, and you can all, because it's consciously done. Even though the distraction is there, in due course of time, this distraction can be corrected, and there can be, attention can be placed in one track. Okay? One track, when sajatiya, dhuti pravahe, you can place the attention. It is possible by practice. And here we can say, practice makes man perfect, means in meditation also you can say. Still it's a manasam karma. Okay? Manasa vyaparaha only. It is not. That is why in meditation is an action. Listen now. Whereas contemplation is just being. It's not doing. You do meditation, but you don't do, understand now. You can say, I do meditation, I practice meditation, you can say, but contemplation, you can say, I am in meditation. Dhyanam seyiren, dhyanathil irikkiren. The difference is there. In contemplation, you can say, you're always in meditation. Nothing doing there. And because, okay, that we'll see next class. So here what I'm saying, is what is meditation. This, what is the purpose of, so what will be the phalam gained as a result of meditation? Mental steadiness. But initially, meditation involves twofold problems. You know that? What are the problems? In meditation, we will have some problem. What do we do when we meditate? We sit. No? Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter tells, actually one has to sit in a comfortable, clean place, a clean place, quiet place. Comfortable means what? It should not be very cushioned, so we'll go inside and you'll be going stuck somewhere in the sofa and all that. It should be really firm. It should be a seat of meditation, be firm. And if it's too hard also, that you will slowly feel the pain. But you again you'll be distracted. It should be too soft and no, and too hard, it should be too high, it should be too low. Okay? Always put a simple thing. Make it a soft seat, and where you sit straight. And we can sit straight here. And then, shiraha, kaya, griva, neck. Shiraha, head. Kayam, body. No, samam, kaya, shiro, grivam. Dharayanna, chalam, sthiraha. In meditation, you could all post and all that. In contemplation, you can just be anywhere. Okay, you still, your mind be in the truth. That's a different thing. So here you sit, you keep the head, neck, and back. Okay, all in one line. And you sit in a common place, quiet clean place, which is not too hot, which is not too soft, and is comfortable. You sit there. And how? You should keep your eyes closed. And closed means how much you should close. Not tight like this. Gita says, Bhagavad Gita says, not tight like this. Again, it's a problem, okay? That is why, if you see, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said, see the tip of your nose. What people take it? Tip of the nose, if you see, you will have headache. You know that? If you see the tip of the nose, you will all look like 1.5, okay? Eyed people. Look, we will look like this. Anumarad. You can't say tip of the nose means, if you see tip of the nose, you will become 1.5 eyed, okay? That's why, always tip of the eyes means what? You see downwards. ரொம்ப தப்பா ஆல்வேஸ் தப்பா மூக்கு நுனியை பார்க்கவும் தியானத்தில் சொல்றாங்க. பார்த்தா என்ன ஆகும் தெரியுமா? டெவலப் வெரி வெரி பேட் ஹெட் ஏக். இட்ஸ் ஆல் ராங் டீச்சிங். யூ ஷுட் போஸ்டர் ஷுட் பி ஹவ் இட் ஷுட் பி தி யூ ஷுட் சி டவுன்வர்ட்ஸ். யூ ஆர் கம்ப்ளீட்லி க்ளோசிங் யுவர் ஐஸ். தி வென் யூ சி டவுன், the eyeball should come to the middle of the eyes. It is neither in this corner. When you close, try to close the eyelids. Whenever you close the eyelids, you can see eyeballs will come to the middle. Eyeball won't be this side or that side. See, the more the eyeballs roll, you can say how restless that person is. I can say that. Understand now? If you see the people who are very, very restless, their eyeballs will be rolling so much. The more agitated, disturbed people's eyeballs will be rolling like anything. Have you noticed that? Ramba ipdi poiterukku. Poiterukku chana, then you can make an eyes need to be bigger, so that's not a different problem. Okay? The more the eyeballs move, you can say the more agitated they are. Summa, you see, necessity, seeing here, that's a different thing, isn't it? The rolling of eyeballs can tell a person's agitations, how agitated the person is, how distracted-minded the person is. Not blaming, it's just I'm saying the problem. So that's why here Gita says, if you sit like this, you don't need to completely close the eyes, the eyeballs, you know, will come to the middle of the bruvoho madhye. This is what is bruhu. Bruhu means eyebrow. Look at this. Bro is bru in Sanskritam. Bru, eyebrow. Okay? Eyebrow is what? Bruhu. Bruvoho madhya means middle of the bru is what? This is. Isn't it? The middle of the eyebrow is this part, isn't it? Not here. In the middle. Bruvor madhye. The eyebrow should come in the middle. How do I look? For all of you, my eyes are closed. Aren't they? My eyes are closed for all of you. It looks as though my eyes have been closed. But for me, not totally, fully closed. The meditation posture. Really don't close the eyes completely. As you can see, Shiva, Lord Shiva sitting like this. Half awake. But it's again wrong picture again. There he looks like Pavamari. Actually, you should completely close. No, you should not be able to see the eyeball. So for other people, the person who is in meditation, it look like that as though he has closed the eyes. But really speaking, eyes are not been closed fully. You sit down like this, eyelids are closed, remain closed, and eyeballs stand in the middle of the eyebrows, middle of the eyes. Eyeball is brought in the middle of the eye. Remain. The attention of the mind is object of meditation. Whatever object of meditation you have, the Bhagavan's form or nama or japa, no, there it is. It is meditation. In the sense, this is prescribed in Bhagavad Gita, dhyana chant. This is actual meditation. Otherwise, you can simply close your eyes also. Not tightly, your eyes closed. And you do meditate. And in meditation, what happens? Because when your eyes are closed, or whenever eyes are closed, and then you have made up your mind for meditation, you physically will be very, very relaxed. Because the physical relaxation, okay, physically when you are relaxed, eyes are closed, and you have created conducive, what, stage four? Falling asleep. That is why there is possibility of falling asleep in meditation when you start practicing. But that you can avoid, no? In due course of time, you can overcome that also. That is why if you are not doing it mechanically, you are consciously doing the meditation. If it is mechanical, you will fall asleep. That's possible. So now, if you are conscious, then you will not fall asleep. Eyes are closed, body is relaxed. Of course, body should be relaxed. The body is not relaxed. How can I meditate? You know, mind will be distracted. That is why this problem of now possibility of falling. What possibility? We will fall asleep. Problem of becoming asleep, falling asleep in practice of meditation is called layaha. Okay, layaha. Chumma layaha, the word is used in resolution also we say. Layaha na oru madriyana thookam vandrum, dull light. It is possible, that's why meditation must always be not, it should not be mechanical, it should be consciously done. Then the more we try to be conscious, more we practice, and then we will, can get over this layaha. The next problem is, even though the body is relaxed and all that, you know, when you close your eyes, always the attention is not imprisoned by a given object. Suppose if you keep your eyes open and you are seeing something, one given object holds your attention. So mind is captivated or imprisoned by one given object, isn't it? But when you close your eyes, mind is free. Understand now? It is not captivated or imprisoned by, caressed by one given object. It has freedom to think of anything. So what we'll do? Happily relaxed, closing your eyes, the mind just wanders. It goes from one object to another object. Like that, mind can keep on going from too many things. A distraction. Okay? The mind getting, it leaves the object of meditation. It starts thinking of so many other things. Closing your eyes, comfortably, mentally thinking of, being with a lot of other things, being with other things other than Bhagavan. It's also what? You have closed your eyes, you are meditating not on Bhagavan, but on something else. Eyes are closed, physically you are relaxed, sitting there, your attention of the mind is not in Bhagavan, but in something else, so many things. Still your meditation, object of meditation is not Bhagavan, something else. It's called a vikshepaha. The problem of going through the possibility of problem, going through the problem of vikshepaha, distraction. These two problems might arise in meditation, layaha and vikshepaha, distraction and sleep. This in sleep, you will fall asleep just because you're close and physically relaxed. You may, because whenever your eyes are closed and physically relaxed, definitely you will sleep. It's a good rest, isn't it? Very desirable also. And sometimes you keep your eyes closed, you are sitting quietly, physically relaxed, but mind just, attention of the mind, goes away from the object of meditation, and it is, mind is with still an object, but not Bhagavan. That is called what? Distraction. Not in the traction of Bhagavan, but in the track of something else. In the distraction is called vikshepaha. No, vikshiptabhav, innocent of. It is not, it's in one line it's going, and from there, vikshiptaha, okay, vikshepaha bhavati. Throwing, attention of the mind is thrown to something else, called vikshepa, distraction. These two things might happen, doesn't matter. If you start doing mechanically, being conscious of not falling asleep, and you can overcome sleep, and in due course of time, whenever the attention goes to somewhere, you bring it back and bring it back initially, and you definitely you will be able to do. Even meditation, you practice of meditation, start doing is very good really. It will work. But without the Shastra background, without having Purusharthan Ischaya, without having knowing the value of knowledge, without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, understand? Without knowing, without being a karma yogi, without being ethical, or with being ethical also, without being religious, simply just for the sake of relaxation, I'm practicing meditation, if you say, there's only concentration that might help one to relax, to find some, to discover some temporary relaxation. Understand? Temporarily one may relax. The change itself will help one to be relaxed. Mental, no one can feel, oh, I become so free from stress and all that. Temporarily, one can feel free from stress and all that. That is why all the management people nowadays go for vipassana. In Hyderabad, so popular. Understand, everybody goes Vipassana meditation because all the executives and all these big industrialists and the bureaucrats, all they think if you attend this Vipassana meditation and you learn to practice, how efficient you can be, how contributive you can be, how more you can be. They all talk of so high of meditation. Understand? If you relax mentally for some time, okay, mind becomes energetic. This is a secret. And when you go back to work, you can do more. Secret. If you keep on doing, mind gets tired, then you can't do more. Simple thing. In concentration or meditation, what a byproduct is of this meditation is, even if you simply learn to concentrate, which they call meditation, there mind is forcefully given rest. You are not thinking of too many things. Otherwise, the mind is taken from something very stressful thing, work and things, and something you're sitting. So it helps one to really energize the weak mind. The mind is so tired, drained of energy. One becomes. That's why they always feel, oh, it's very good and very great on earth. But still, it will not solve in any way other emotional problems or other problems one has in life will not be solved. Still, one becomes more workaholic, maybe. So we have to understand that is not meditation. If the Purusharatha Nischaya is not there, there is no yoga. The commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is not there. Without being commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, without having any commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, or being interested in knowledge of the truth, simply one practices some technique to discipline the mind. It may help one to relax temporarily, but still, it is not yogaha. Understand? Yogaha is there only, the end must be very clear. Then it is not mere practice of meditation, commitment to dharma also must be there. Commitment to dharma with this practice, okay, becomes what? Yoga. Isn't it? That's why we have to be very clear in this context. What is your meditation? So, sajatiya vritti pravahaha is there. There's a constant, continuous, unbroken flow of thoughts wherein all object of meditation is Bhagavan, and then because there's no, it's not broken. Thoughts are not broken here. And one more thing I want to tell you here mainly. See what happens always when you sit for meditation. When you sit for meditation, suppose you think of one object, meditation. You think of something and you don't continue with the same thing. It will take you to something else. Okay, go and sit for meditation or simply you are there. See, object of thought need not disturb the mind. Understand? If Bhagavan object of meditation, it will not disturb your mind. It will not disturb your being, well-being. And even the thinking does not disturb the reality. Stillness of reality or silence of reality. The thinking does not disturb the nature of reality. It's there. When does there is something called a disturbance happen in the mind? When does disturbance happen in the mind? எப்பொழுது வந்து மனதில் ஒரு மாதிரியான you feel burdened or heavy or unpleasantness. Feeling low, depressed, very disturbed. You are disturbed. Mentally you feel disturbed. When does it happen? So how this manasa japaha or meditation helps you to get rid of that disturbance initially? See, leave alone. Mental steadiness required for the vision of the reality is the main aim of meditation. But meditation or manasa japaha, okay, also help you to get over this problem of mental disturbance. How? See, if we have the habit of, you know, this doing japam or meditation, most of the times your mind will be slowly becoming, steady. The more you are doing japam, or the more you are meditative, the steadier the mind is, the more conscious you will be, the more alert you will be mentally. The more you are alert mentally, the more you can avoid mechanical thinking. Mechanical thinking alone always will lead to mental disturbance, mental burden, or mentally feeling burdened and heavy. Understand? This is called mental disturbance. Manade uruttara, bharamakara, kavalai paduthukara, such situation can be avoided. How? By avoiding mechanical thinking. And being mechanical in thinking is very natural for human beings. We are of the nature of mechanically thinking. Okay? We are naturally given to that habit of thinking mechanically. If we can avoid that mechanical thinking, then we can avoid most of the mental disturbance. Okay? The mental disturbance, mental unpleasantness and that burden can be avoided by avoiding the mechanical thinking. So to avoid the mechanical thinking, this japaha or meditation also helps. Even though it's a byproduct, okay, it mainly helps us to gain mental steadiness. That is for moksha jnana. But in due course of time, what it helps us also to avoid mechanical thinking. Mechanical thinking goes, my God, you will see, always you'll be free. You won't, nothing will make you feel burdened and heavy and feeling low and depressed and rigid and all those things. It's very good. And what do we mean by mechanical thinking? If you say, always, we can say, if I say something, suppose you all ask me, Swamini, how is Coimbatore? How is Coimbatore now? I say, Coimbatore is fine. Answer is over. Coimbatore is fine. How is the climate there? Oh, very pleasant. It's over. One word, the binary answer for the question, it's over. But you answer, you went off also. I sit there. Okay? And from you ask me about climate, and immediately think of the climate, very pleasant. And immediately my cousin comes to my mind. And from my cousin, her daughter comes to my mind. And from daughter, her looks comes to my mind. And her boyfriend comes to my mind. And the boyfriend's parents come to my mind. And the parent's friend comes to my mind. God, I don't like that person at all. How that person cheated me. How I became a victim of some unpleasant situation sometime back. That person, that comes to my mind. Okay? Then when I develop, and this is how always a given object of thought can always make you build up one after the other, okay, too many connected things. Understand now? It goes one after the other. In puja also you have connected things. Know that? Flower offer, akshata offer, then lot of things. Nama, what to next. It's all Bhagavan connected. Understand? But here you build up one leash to the other. And that person, what he told me in the middle of other so many people, he told me something, he really abused me, accused me. Accused me, used saying all bad words. Those words come to my mind also. Look at this. I tell you, for many, many years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it happened. Again, it comes to my mind. And then that aggravates some already in anger, the suppressed anger situation. And that anger again comes surfaces. And that pain also comes along with that. What happened? How I felt small, how I felt humiliated. But something comes in mind. How I felt hurt. How the person behaved. And that comes. And then that goes. And naturally, then a lot of anger comes. Immediately that person is not next to me. Understand? That anger and that aggravated anger which was somewhere inside. Understand now? And something, and also pain also which was there inside. That comes now. Okay? And that I don't know, because I can't show it immediately to anybody else. Okay? With that, I behave and really causes a lot of pain. And immediately something else happens. It also gets connected. And then I feel so burdened, okay, and so heavy. And these sort of things are possible. Always, I didn't give proper, very appropriate example. Always we have naturally helpless. That's why I'm saying don't condemn yourself. It is not, Shastram does not say anything you're doing is wrong. It Shastram tells us what all problems naturally we have. So natural problem means understand our natural problem. A headache means head is there and you have nerves and you have blood vessels and you have all those things. And if you eat too much of deep fried stuff, you will have headache. Okay? These are the problems, possible problems, what are all there, what we go through, Shastram tells. Okay? Shastram does not say it is wrong to have, don't have it. Because you have it, doesn't say it, doesn't find fault with this. Don't tell us, like a mata, understand how Shruti mata we say. Don't tell us what all possible problems. How this building up of thoughts, now in due course of time, it becomes what? Slowly you are lost. In such, whenever anger, continuously when you build up objects one after the other, they change. Objects of thoughts, they change and you build up, something. The build up thoughts always slowly becomes mechanical. Why? Because you even forget yourself being there. That's the worst thing. Okay? In mechanical thinking, you forget yourself being there. You are not conscious of yourself being there. ஒரு விதமான தன்னை பற்றிய மறதியே வந்துடும். ஆத்திரம் போற ஒன்லி தட் ஆ பர்சன், அதர் பர்சன் பிகம்ஸ் டோட்டல் பர்சன் ஆஃப் அட்டென்ஷன் அண்ட் யூ ஃபர்கெட் யுவர் செல்ஃப். அதனாலதான் சாத்த ஒரு லைன் கொஞ்சம் கீழே மேட்னஸ் இருக்கு. அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ? இன் மெக்கானிக்கல் திங்கிங், ஆல்வேஸ் இட் வில் ஹேப்பன். அண்ட் ஐம் நாட் ஜஸ்ட் மை எக்ஸாம்பிள் நாட் வெரி அப்ராப்ரியேட், கேன் லெட் லீட் டு எனிதிங். Understand? This is also, sometimes it need not aggravate anger or anything, but it will take you to somewhere without causing any pain also, can simply take you somewhere. To one thing to the other thing. So, how was your trip? I ask you, you talk about Alaska, from Alaska you go to something else, I have furnished. You from Alaska you go to this crew, and then what happened, and what you saw, and the person you met, and you met at the restaurant where you stayed, and what the food you ate, and how it affected your stomach, and how you had dysentery, and how after all what your medicine you gave, it goes like that. It can go always, one thing can lead to other thing. There are nothing big. Like the two types of always in mechanical thinking there's a possibility or definitely one will forget oneself slowly. That's a bad thing. Understand? You at least you are not, even if you're not meditating, at least you're conscious of yourself. When you're not meditating also, always you're conscious of yourself. In meditation, you should be conscious of yourself. But in mechanical thinking, you will forget yourself. That means you will not be conscious of yourself being there. That's not a desirable thing. Understand? Therefore, the mechanical thinking may lead to, high mental disturbance, mental pain. And that can get expressed once we are mentally disturbed, you are mentally sick. Like how physical disturbance is a sickness, mental disturbance is a sort of, not sort of, this is a sickness. And mentally sick, when you are, you really do not know what you do. You completely have no say over your own behavior. That is when you scold or something, talk and unconnected things to people. Sometimes we are very, very, not all, you know, relative, we say something which are not, you know, very, 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 you know, unconnected. And then we say something, because really we make other people feel hurt or damage relationships. Lots of things are possible. All these things are very natural in human beings' lives. I mean, how you feel mentally disturbed, how your mental disturbance, not generally, see, what are our own pains and pleasures, and unpleasant situations also cause some pain in us. That is different. There's no other reason, there's no unpleasant situation in your life. Nothing is responsible. Understand? Sometimes a mechanical thinking, without any reason, there's no unpleasant, suppose, okay, some daughter is not well, son is not well, something has happened, somebody is not well at home, our money is lost or something. See, sometimes we have our own situations. Our karma, paradha karma palam, sometimes it's not very good. We suffer that, then we have pain. Isn't it? That is a different thing. But here is no reason for you to be disturbed. What is about disturbance? Somewhere something has gone wrong and you will not be aware of why you are disturbed. And you don't even know about your thinking being mechanical. If you know, you would have changed, no. See, the problem of mechanical thing is you are not aware of your thinking being mechanical, and mechanical thinking involves a lot of building up from one thought to the other. And in that mechanical thinking always, building up things, always you lose yourself. Listen, you forget yourself, you are not conscious of yourself being there. That is, you know, it only, and how this happens. This is very natural. What happens? The manasa japaha or meditation will come definitely make you, always will be slowly, slowly, not only you are conscious, no, always will help you to get over this, completely get over this problem of mechanical thinking, okay, the build-up thoughts, which will result in mental disturbance for no reason. Understand? This is another fruit of practicing meditation or manasa japaha. Another solrudu. See, it is very important to be conscious of oneself always. We are very conscious, but at times we become absent. In sleep, you are not there totally, you are resting, that's fine. When you are awake also, being awake, you are not conscious of yourself. And sometimes, that's why when people who get mad, I told you earlier also, you know, who think too much on their own, thinking all alone, sitting all alone, thinking too much, result in what? One degree of depression, and it will lead to madness. Then you go from sedatives to then shock treatment to chaining. It goes different degrees. That's a different thing. That is a different thing. Hai, adhu rabba mosam. Because we have lot of things. That's why, in a way, thanks to all the TV series, it will distract you from all those things and keep you, okay, healthy. At least abnormally normal. Yeah, not normally normal, but still at least somewhere. All this, that's why we need entertainments also. Natyam, Nenrityam. Bharatanishi says that, oh, people are so tired and a lot of things here. How to help them? How to help them? We have to give something. Then Bhagavan gave Bharatanati Shastram. Come on, take this. Go and enjoy. There's a story how Bhagavan gave Nati Shastram to Bharatanishi. Because people need entertainment and changes in their lives. Now, what I'm saying here, mental disturbance caused by mechanical thinking can be neutralized or totally eroded by this practice of japaha and meditation.
Ajadharaya Srotasasamam. వాజ్యధారయా శ్రోతసాసమం సరళచింతనం విరళతః పరం సరళచింతనం విరళతః పరం.
గో ది నెక్స్ట్ వన్.
భేదభావనాత్ సోహమిత్యసౌ భేదభావనాత్ సోహమిత్యసౌ భావనాభిదా పావనీమత భావనాభిదా పావనీమత ఆజ్యధారయా శ్రోతసాసమం ఆజ్యధారయా శ్రోతసాసమం సరళచింతనం విరళతః పరం సరళచింతనం విరళతః పరం.
ఓకే, so here he says in this context, see, I told you everything, I explained the whole thing here, how manasa japaha serves as meditation, I explained. But there again what happens, there is which is virala chintanam. Manasa japaha is only what? Manasa japaha, even though it's a mental activity, it's a virala chintanam. Okay, viralam, he says viralam. So viralataha param, what is more, what is superior, what is better, what is more superior, what is better than, you know, what is more exalt, more, what is better than this virala chintanam. Manasa viralataha is equal to manasa japaha. What is better than this manasa japaha is sarala chintanam. Sarala chintana means what? Effortless, unbroken, uninterrupted, no thinking, or constant, inconsistent, uninterrupted meditation is what now? Sarala chintanam. So meditation is better than manasa japaha, because in manasa japaha, okay, there is some, the meditation is broken, because every time you finish the nama, you have to start again, isn't it? Why it is broken? We say Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Again, between two thoughts, no, there's a gap. This is a broken sort of. Even though that gap, again, you have to discover silence and it will help you. There's a different thing. But see, suppose if you think, if you only think of something, only one object, continuously, no, not the nama, not even manasa japa there, then mentally you are visualizing something continuously, means nothing is broken. So viralataha param, better than this virala. Virala stands for manasa japaha, is, he says, sarala chintanam, meditation. And then, how it should be? It should be like, he says, ajya dharaya samam, srotasa samam. This constant, consistent, uninterrupted flow of thoughts, this meditation is like the unbroken, uninterrupted flow of ghee. Ajya dhara. ఆజ్యధారయా సమం. ఓకే, నెయ్యుడియ ధారై పోలే, ఈజ్ ఎ సమం. వాట్ ఈస్ ఆజ్యం? సి, ఆజ్యం మీన్స్ ఘీ. ఘృతం ఆల్సో మీన్స్ ఘీ. బటర్, క్లారిఫైడ్ బటర్, ది బటర్ మెల్టెడ్ ఆన్ ఫైర్ ఈస్ ఘృతం. బటర్ మెల్టెడ్ ఇన్ హాట్ సన్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఆజ్యం. Okay, hot sun. Imagine, if you keep the butter outside in the hot, now it will melt, I think. In London also it will melt. Now it's quite hot here. If you heat outside, it will melt. Then you will get some, no, that diluted, very loose butter. That's called ajam ghee. And that ghee is supposed to be used for performing rituals. And all whenever they use to perform the rituals, they pour the ghee. They won't pour directly. In the small, small homes, they pour directly. You know, they take the samid and touch the ghee and then put it. And in proper big homes they perform, there's a method, there's a big ladles they'll have. wooden ladders, marakkarandi, long it will be, and there will be one stand also for this, and it will be like, it will be, it'll be like slope, they will keep this long ladders, they will keep like it, and they, no, it will be like a snake's hood, no, it will be there, and there will be a small trench will be there, and they will pour the ghee from here. You know, when I mean, they perform ritual, they pour the ghee from here in the kernel, then it will flow like this. How it flows in Vaikal, okay? It will go like that and it will fall. And that ghee, if you see, because the ghee has a lot of sticky nature, stickiness, and it will flow like this. And that, you can't see, in between two drops, there's no gap. The ghee will be flowing like this. Now, thin. The ghee will be falling exactly. They'll pour like this. Called Ajya Dhara. Ajya Dhara. We heard about Kanaka Dhara. No? Shower of gold. Golden shower. And Shankaracharya sang, and Bhagavan, that the Kanaka Dhara Stotram, one lady, for her, really gold, really poured, it seems. People all like Kanaka Dhara Stotram. Everybody asked me to teach Kanaka Dhara Stotram. Why not? And if I do the Stotram, they can have Kanaka Dhara. Okay? There is a Kanaka Dhara is different. Here, Ajya Dhara. In performing fire rituals, there is a Dhara. I think we should really have proper yagna pandrapo. We should show them all, everything. I want to show all the ladles, everything. Maybe I should bring them from India. I should not touch a sannyasini. See, nice, you should know all those things. And there, they pour the ghee, it will go and fall. This is a big mutts in Kanchi, Shingena, then they do proper Chandi Homana, they'll use that. Ingala chumma thottu potruvanga. There's no proper ladles. They keep and they'll pour, the ghee will go and fall, and the ghee falls, it will be continuously flowing like from the pipe, how it goes. It will be going like that. Ajya Dharaya Samam. Ajya Dharaka Vuppana Idevali Illada Yenna Votam. And in all the thoughts, object of thought is one. Ajya Dharaya Samam Sarala Chintanam. Then he says, that is where he mentions how ghee has that. Now, ghee is also called ghee, also oil, also you pour oil, also it will flow like that. And ghee, the sticky nature of the ghee, now, is called. This is in or mari, we can say the pisipisip. Any ghee and no pisipisip, because sticky nature of the ghee, in fact, stands for in Sanskrit we call it sneha. Snehyati is na sticks nartho. The friendship is called sneha. Know that? Manasla stick, get stuck with somebody is called sneha. And getting stuck with somebody mentally is what? Sneha. Sneha is noun, snih dhatu, very beautiful word it is. Snih dhatu, and then root is snih, and verb is snihyati, sticks. Okay? And then snehaha. Snehitaha is a different thing, okay? Snehaha is friendship, which we say here. So sneha means sticky nature. That's why oil is called sneha also, ghee also. And that's why, and here that implies what? Liking. Okay? The snehaha of the ghee stands for the love for the object of meditation. Like that. Understand? See, why Ramana especially illustrate to ghee and srotas? Listen, love for the object is implied by the word, the sticky nature of the ghee. So, srotasa samam. How just as the ghee ajyam, when it is poured into the ajyat, no? That's ajya chamasa, that ladle, wooden ladle, it flows continuously without any in-between breaking. Similarly, the unbroken, constant, consistent flow of thoughts, and how the consistency is possible if you have love for that. That is one thing. And then, and the srotas means river. A stream is called srotas. And srotasasam means like the, how the, when the river flows, the flow of river is always unobstructed. It will, nowhere you can stop the flow of river. It will just keep on flowing until it reaches its destination of ocean. Just keep going. It doesn't matter where it goes, how it goes. Keep going. That also stands for commitment. Okay? Commitment also, it is implied. Another thing is, and when the river flows, does it have any difficulty in flowing? Effortless. So effortlessness and commitment involved now are revealed through the illustration of river, stream, the flow of the stream, and that love for the object of meditation is revealed by the illustration of ghee, flow of ghee. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.